right. Be seated. Brother Ferrari is going to come bring our message this morning. Give your undivided attention up here to him. Brother Ferrari, God bless you.
All right. I'll talk a little bit, but if you want to turn your Bibles to the book of John, John chapter 4, John chapter 4. Brother, I want you to know those were easy. I mean, come on. And you knew them all, though, but I'm impressed. So, but I was thinking about this, brother. You said you were in Monterrey? See, I almost fell off the mountain in Monterrey. See, the roofs go into the mountain, right? And sometimes it looks like a normal house. And then when you go, when you're walking on the street, you come to the roof and you just walk right onto it. But if you go to the end of the house, it's just like a straight drop down. And I almost died. I just thought you should know that, okay? How many of you are in John chapter 4? All right, we're going to read that here in a second. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, what is imperative? What do you need to do when you go on a long road trip? What do, as kids, okay, what do you need? What is your must-have? Food, okay, anything else? Like what? What do you need to entertain you? Technology. That's a good question. Yes, sir. Books? Oh, see, that is awesome. You said books. Awesome. Yes, anyone else? Money. Yes, money. Yes, sir. What is it? Okay, I don't know what you said. Prayer. Okay, prayer. What? Drinking. Okay. But now, I want to focus on this. Technology. What kind of technology do you bring with you? Yes. Tablet. Phone. A DVD. Okay. Yes. Computer. You know, and I'm going to ask parents. Parents, what do you bring along to entertain your children? Benadryl. Good answer. Good answer. Anyone else? Yes. Okay. Patch the Pirate. Okay. Why do I say that? Because you know what? It comes right now. We've traveled for 114,000 miles on the road. All right, on deputation. And it comes to a point where you rely on tablets and you rely on DVDs and you rely on iPhones and all this technology. But it also comes to a time where you just say, enough, no, nothing. And then the children think, I'm going to die. I mean, I'm literally going to die on this trip of boredom because I have nothing to do. Right? And you're just like, you will survive. And children, and I'm sure you think this, you're like, no, I won't. And then we say, yes, you will. Well, how do you know, right? Well, tell me you wouldn't say that. How do you know? Because I've been there, I've done that, and I've survived. I had nothing. Okay? We didn't have all this. And now you do, and if you don't have it, you think you're going to die. So one day we were driving down the road, and Gabriella, my oldest, who's 10 years old, was like, they wanted to play on the tablet. They wanted to play on their little games. They wanted to watch TV. And I just said, enough, no more, I'm done. And they're like, well, what do we do, Dad? Look out the window. And do what? Look at the clouds. Just look at the clouds. And then what? Come up with I don't know, use your imagination. My what? No, I'm kidding. They didn't say that. Use your imagination. What do the clouds look like? What do they remind you of, right? So all of a sudden, Gabriella is looking out the window, and she all of a sudden she sees something, and she's like, Mommy, 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 Mommy. Yeah. Look, do you see the cloud up there? It's on the right of the big one, but it's not as big as the one next to it. It's a little bit smaller, but it's got a little tail kind of. Do you see that, Mom? And of course, as parents, you go, yeah, yeah, of course I see it. You know, but I think Crystal actually saw it, and Gabriella said, it looks like a dinosaur. And Crystal says, well, I don't know about a dinosaur, but to me it looks like a lizard. Now, I can see how the two can be interchanged, right? But both of them, in my mind, were looking at the same cloud, per se, or the same area at least. But both of them, due to their experiences or just who they are, saw two different things. Am I right? Okay, now how about when you play a game, what is it called Pictionary where you draw? No, is that what it's called? You know, when you draw something and it's funny because a person's trying to draw a car and they say, a leaf, a car, a head, a shoe? You know, everybody sees different things. Well, honestly, I think of those stories when I read John chapter 4. And you'll see why. Let's read John chapter 4 and verse 27 where the Bible says this, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And verse 36, And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Just thank you for the opportunity to be here today, Lord. Just to be here with everyone, Lord, and of course all the missionaries and church members and the children, God. But Lord, I just pray that you would just meet with us today, God. Lord, your word says that where two or more are gathered, there you are, God. So we know that you're here, God. Lord, but I just need you to help me, God. I don't want to preach from any type of talent that I know I don't have, God, but I just need you to talk to the people here through me, God. Lord, I just need you to help us. Lord, meet with us today. In your name I pray. Amen. So, well, what's going on in that story? You know what, honestly, and I think you'll find out where I'm going with this, all right? But what's going on in that story? Jesus and his disciples were going from Judea to Galilee, and this is approximately a 70-mile trip that would normally take about 2.5 days to go ahead and complete. Which is funny because right now we think, or at least if you tell me 70 miles, in my mind I'm thinking an hour. Sweet, I can be there in an hour. Right, because of all the driving that we do, it's just how my mind thinks. But you're looking at 2.5 days. But in order to get to Galilee where they were going, they had to go through Samaria. And about halfway through, let's say about 35 miles in, is Sychar, right? So they had already traveled 14 miles on that day. And it was 12 o'clock noon. And again, this is just the way that I picture it. It's about 12 o'clock. And what do you do? When it's noon, when it's 12 o'clock, what do you do? Just tell me, what do you do? You have lunch, right? You eat, right? Don't you dare keep food away from me at noon, right? And I'm kidding, but I'm really not, right? But still, right, it was time to eat. So all of a sudden, right, needless to say, Jesus was tired. Listen, if you walked 14 miles in a day, would you be tired? All right. See, I was thinking about having one of you stand up and just walk around the auditorium like I don't know how many times and then ask you later if you were tired. Right? Just to see. And then I decided against it. Right? But think about it. If you're walking for 14 miles, you're tired. What else happens? Right? Your feet probably hurt. Right? You're probably thirsty. Right? You're tired. You're exhausted. And I think that you would agree with me on this. Right? And I don't need you to raise your hand, but just tell me, is Jesus Christ God? I don't think you believe it. Is Jesus Christ God? Okay. But is Jesus Christ also a man? So he was God? 100%? Fully? But he was man also? So he was tired, right? His feet hurt. He was hungry. He was thirsty. So when they come by this well and you see a rock, man, I'm going to sit down, wouldn't you? Right? So he goes ahead and he sits down and his disciples go about to try to find some food. They probably try to find a Chick-fil-A somewhere in Samaria there to, you know, bring back to Jesus, right? But all of a sudden, as Christ was sitting there, probably just relaxing, catching his breath, a Samaritan woman came by. Now remember, he was tired, right? His feet hurt. He was all, ugh, right? The Samaritan woman came by and as she walked by, Jesus said this. He said, give me to drink. Now can you imagine her face just, why in the world are you even talking to me? You know, the Samaritans at that point in time were seen as unclean, right? Like, you don't talk to them. You don't, you know, hang around with them. You don't do any of that, right? Strict Jews wouldn't even buy food from them as the disciples were trying to do at that point. In John 8:48, it was so bad that in order to insult Christ, they would call him a Samaritan in John 8:48. So you can see why the Samaritan woman, what was shocked them was like, why are you talking to me? I mean, this just doesn't happen, right? But Jesus ignored her comments and just continued to tell her that God has a gift for her and that he has the authority to give it to her. And the woman asked about this living water because he said, listen, I have this water that, you know what, you will never thirst again. And again, I'm thinking that if she had this water pot, she probably went there daily, right, to get her water. Now, listen, it was probably heavy. It probably wasn't a little water pot. Right, it was probably a water pot, am I right? right? So if he says, I have this water that you won't thirst anymore, you know, she said what? Sir, give me this water. I don't want to carry this water pot here every day. I want to have it. Give it to me. And Christ says, okay, well, go home and bring your husband. And all of a sudden, as he said that, she probably puts her head down in shame and, well, I don't have a husband. Jesus Christ says, you know what? You're right. You've had five husbands, and the guy that you're currently shacking up with is not your husband. Now, how would you feel? Now, listen, now some of you are smiling. That's cool. That's fine. But let me ask you a question. How would you feel if somebody called you out on your deepest, darkest sin? I mean, nobody else knew about it, right? Now, people knew about her situation, but let's say you met a stranger and nobody knew about it, and then all of a sudden, he's like, oh, hey, by the way, how's your going? How would you feel? Right? Would you be like, who are you? I mean, how did you know that? Who told you? And all of a sudden, this woman is thinking, this Samaritan woman is thinking, man, is this the Messiah? Is this the person that I've heard about? You know, the Samaritan woman knew that the Messiah would come one day, and Christ made sure to say this. He said, I that speak unto thee am he. Who? Christ the Messiah. And all of a sudden, as she's talking to her, the disciples came up, you know, and see Jesus talking with her, and they're in awe, again, thinking, why are you talking with her? But yet they said nothing. All of a sudden, this Samaritan woman was so overjoyed that she left her water pot. Now listen, she left her water pot. Why is that important? What was her whole reasoning for being there? To fill up the water pot, right? So her whole reason for being there was to fill this water pot. And all of a sudden, she's just left it behind, right? To run back to the city, right? She was so overjoyed, she left it behind to tell those in the city what had just happened. So let's pick this up back in John chapter 4, verse 31. The Bible says this, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. He pretty much said this, right? He was showing very little interest in eating, but even though he was hungry, he used the disciples urging him to eat to teach them about his priorities. He said, listen, I have special food. I have different food. I have better food to eat than this physical food that you're trying to give me. He showed them that besides a physical need, there was a spiritual need that was more important. He said, listen, my meat, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now you're probably asking yourself, what is the whole purpose of this? The whole purpose of this is that we need to have a spiritual focus. And I believe that in this day and age, we've lost our spiritual focus. What do you mean? As many churches as we've traveled in, can I tell you this? A lot of them don't go out soul winning anymore. They've just quit. They've just kind of threw it alongside. Like, you know what? I just don't want to do that. Well, then why are you having a missionary in? Well, because I'm going to send you and you're going to do my part for me. And can I tell you something? That is not how it works. Because even though we're going to go to Argentina, you have all these other missionaries going to Sudan. If I miss you, I'm so sorry. Going to Sudan and going to the Bahamas and going back to Kenya and the Rock of Ages. I mean, you have all these missionaries. Who's going to stay behind? We can't do the job for everybody. But so many have quit. You know what? So many have quit even having missionaries in or having conferences. And can I tell you something? We have lost our spiritual focus and we need to focus it back in. You know, the analogy that comes to mind is binoculars. You know, where when you put them on, you kind of can't see where it is, kind of blurry, and you got to adjust them a little bit. And you know what, kids, maybe, have you even had binoculars? I'm just saying, let's put it this way. When you get your phone, you go take a picture, you know how you press the screen to adjust, right? Okay, it's just like that. We need to readjust. All right, we need to lift up and look around. Verse 35 says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You know, golf immortal Arnold Palmer recalls a lesson about overconfidence. It was the final hole of the 1961 Masters Tournament, and Arnold Palmer said this, I had a one-stroke lead and had just hit a very satisfying tee shot. I felt I was in pretty good shape. As I approached my ball, I saw an old friend standing at the edge of the gallery. He motioned me to come over. He stuck out his hand and he said, congratulations. I took his hand and shook it. But as soon as I did, I knew I had lost my focus. He said this, on my next two shots, I hit the ball into a sand trap, then put it over the edge of the green. I missed a putt and lost the Masters tournament. He said, you don't forget a mistake like that. You know, spiritually speaking, we sometimes lose our focus. We can start off on the right track. We can start off doing the right things and doing things for the right reason and doing things the way that the Bible tells us to. But then along the way, we lose our focus and we need to readjust it. There are times in our lives when we do foolish things that we know we shouldn't do. You know, we think to ourselves, are you kidding me? I knew better than that. How in the world did I fall? I can't believe I did that. And the Bible is loaded with men and women who have lost their spiritual focus. You know, the nine men who didn't return to thank Jesus for healing them of leprosy in Luke 17. Listen, if we go to the doctor and we're sick, we're coughing, we might have a fever. We go to the doctor and the doctor says, you have this. Okay, Daniel just went to the doctor because, and I don't remember what all he had, and it wasn't anything much. They said, he had a high temperature, he was just crabby, anything you did just didn't console him, and Daniel is a year and a half, right? And we took him to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, he's teething, and he has a virus. Okay, and I don't know, for some reason I think that when they say that he has a virus, it's we don't really know what he has, so it must be a virus, right? But still, you thank them. Anyway, and you're like, oh, thank you, doctor, for telling me this and just, you know, letting me know what it is and giving me this so-called peace of mind. Now, we're talking about people here, right, who were healed of leprosy, who had limbs that were rotting and falling off, that Jesus healed them, and they couldn't even say thank you? Are you kidding me? And I bet you they were taught better than that. You know, what about Martha working instead of worshiping in Luke 10? Or what about Moses striking the rock instead of speaking to it in Numbers 20? You know, some of these biblical examples are small and some are big, but every one of them had a momentary lapse in what they knew and who they probably were in their life. And they just forgot. But what is your focus on? You know, the temptation in our life will always exist to shift our focus to something different, to stretch it, to compromise it. And it's easy to get distracted by life or something else. But listen, and this is what I get from it, all right? And I'm going to move this. Do you mind, preacher? Is that all right? All right, I'm going to move this. So, I want you to think about it, right? Jesus was tired, right? I'm sure we agreed that, right? You're walking, you're tired, your feet hurt. He sat down and he's just like, oh, man, this feels so much better. I'm not moving. I'm not walking. I'm still thirsty. I'm still hungry, but I'm relaxing. Right? Do we agree, guys? You know, listen, because if you don't show me excitement, then I get louder. I want you to know that. I proved that in teen church yesterday, okay? So, am I right, guys? But all of a sudden, right, a Samaritan woman walked by who had a need. Am I right? She had a need for what? A Savior. And Jesus said, you know what? Forget my aching feet. Forget my hunger. Forget my thirst. This woman needs a Savior, and I need to talk to her, and I need to bring it before her. He left it all behind. But are we willing to do that? You know, I wish that I could tell you as a missionary, you know, I'm perfect, you know. I always carry myself the right way, and you know, I'm always thinking about the Bible and the next sermon, and I'm always thinking about souls and every person that I run across, there I am. I wish I could tell you that, but the truth is this, you know what? I have the same flesh that all of you have, and we're all sinners. And sometimes I think about me. And you know what? If I'm hungry, I'm hungry. All right, I'm just saying, you know, it's very hard to put that aside because, you know, I was talking with my wife earlier today and there's a thing that's called a man flu. You know what I'm talking about? The man flu is, I mean, you think you're going to die. Okay, I mean, you need all the attention. You need, you know, water. You get to whine and, but for women, it's called a cold. Okay. But listen, when I have this so-called man flu, it's all about me. Okay? Do not change the subject off of me and just take care of me. All right? But listen, what is our focus on? What do we do? Listen, we were at a gas station one day, and of course we were pumping gas, and hold on, what happened? Let me think. I'm sorry. Daniel got sick again. Daniel, for some reason, gets all these little small sicknesses. And if it's going around, he catches it. And We dropped them off at a walk-in clinic with Crystal and Adriana, and then Gabrielle and I went off to the next gas station to fill up. I'm one of those people, I hate to waste time. So if we stop for a so-called potty break, we need to do something. You know, if I just got gas and my kids say, Papi, I got to go potty. Nope, just filled up, no reason to stop. You know, I got to be at like a quarter, maybe even a half a tank before I can stop for you to go potty, okay? Because why? Because if not, I'm just wasting time. So as she's in the doctor's, I didn't just want to sit there and do nothing. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go get gas. I'm going to buy some water, and we're going to get back on our way, right? So I go to the gas station. I walk inside. I grab some water, and I come back outside, and I start pumping gas. And what do? I get back in the car, and, you know, there I am sitting in the front seat. Oh, okay, still the pump is still going. Oh, what? They did that? Are you kidding me? Oh, they're dating now. Oh, how cute. You know? Oh, look at that picture. And I'm just looking at my little gossip for the day on Facebook, right? And then all of a sudden, Gabriella, my 10-year-old, comes out and says, Papi, can we give that man a track? What man? The man next to you. What man next to me? And sure enough, I look, and there's a man pumping gas. And she says, Papi, he's not doing anything. We can give him a track. And you know what, can I tell you? I felt horrible. Because as a parent, shouldn't I be the one that sees that and encourages my children? And there's my 10-year-old saying, Papi, come on, he's not doing anything. Let's give him a track. Can I tell you something? My spiritual focus was off. It was blurred. And I didn't see that. And there goes Gabriella with her track. And she's like, sir, can you read this when you get a chance? And just hands it to her and gets back in the car like as if nothing were to happen. Another time we walked into we were out eating with a pastor at a Chinese place. And you know what? I would have voted for Chinese, but I've had so much Chinese on deputation, I'm done. Okay? So we walked out of a Chinese place, and there was a huge group of bikers that had just pulled in. And I was just like, you know what? If you don't look at them directly in their eyes, they will leave you alone. Right? So they're pulling in, and I'm like, nope, not looking. And all of a sudden, Gabriella said, Papi, I'm going to go give him a track. And I'm like, no, you're going to die. They're going to shank you. Don't you know this? And she gives him a track. And then the other half that had left, she's like, I'll just put it on their bikes. And I'm like, no, I've seen enough movies and shows where you don't touch their bikes because all of a sudden they'll go, do, 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 right? I mean, that's just what's in my mind. But there's Gabriella, like, here, sir, read this. Here, sir, read this. Here, sir, read this. Hey, sir, can you read this when you have a chance? And she's 10. But how often do we do that as adults? How often do we go about and just forget about what we're doing for the day and focus on spiritual things? You know what? We get so caught up in, I got to go, I got to go, I got to go, I got to go, I got to go. Oh, man, you know what? I'm late. I'm running late. It's just so fast. But why can't we take time? And I've taught Gabriella this. I've told her, listen, you cannot go out there and win souls 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, honey. You know what? If you want to go out there. But I'm like, honey, how are you going to have a job? I mean, how are you going to support yourself in the future? How are you going to go to school? You know, you want to do 18 hours, sleep for 2, and then give me 4 hours of homework? Okay, we'll work something out. But you can't do it 24 hours a day. But she wants to. We get so caught up in, man, okay, I got to go. I got to do this. I got to get home. We got to cook. I got to do this. I got to do homework. I got to do, you know, work. If you're a missionary, I got to make phone calls. And we forget why we're here. Let me give you another reason. Another example. My Gabriella is what's called a one-upper. You know what a one-upper is? But, Poppy, whatever you can do, I can do it so much better. Right? And we went to a gas station, and what we try to do as we travel is, of course, we try to witness to people, and, you know, we try to pass out tracts. Every gas station we go to, we put a tract in the handle. Every fast food place that we go to, they get a tract, you know, so we try to pass it out, and we try to witness. But one day we went to a gas station. I went inside, bought some more water, came outside, and Gabriella's like, Papi, yeah, I'm going to put a track in every gas handle in this pump or in this gas station. And I'm like, honey, we have to go. Okay, it's Sunday afternoon. We got to make it to our Sunday evening meeting. We have to go. Get in the car. Come on. Crystal says, well, you know, the tire's low. You need to get air. And I'm like, oh, fine. So I go get some air. And Gabriella goes, you know, track, 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 goes around, track, 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 goes to the other side, track, 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 track. Okay, I did it. And I look around, and they're everywhere, in every handle. Now, somebody's going to get upset. They're going to be like, why is there an Illinois track in New Mexico? You know? But listen, we can't be like the disciples. We need to lift up and look around. We need to be more discerning. If the disciples were more discerning, however, they could see some men coming from the city who have heard the testimony of this Samaritan woman. Remember, she said, "Hey, come see a man who told me all that ever I did. Come see a man. Is not this the Messiah?" I mean, she was proclaiming it. And what happened? They came. But when they came, the disciples didn't see it. Right? The disciples were like, "What? There's just grain here, God. I mean, Jesus, there's just grain here. What are you talking about?" Listen, if they would have just lifted up their eyes and looked beyond the horizon, they could see the people that are waiting for them. My question is this: do you see that? Do you see those people? Listen, I got an awesome story here, but I'm not going to read it. I'm going to try to do it from memory of what I'm going to do. There's this story I found online, and I thought it fit perfectly. It was talking about a car that was going through Arizona. How many of you have been to Arizona? Okay, there's nothing out there. Okay, nothing. The farther south you go, nothing. Sorry, I'm a little, I've been traumatized. But we were in Arizona. There was a story about this train car going through Arizona, and everybody had their shades down and, you know, trying to keep the sun out and trying to not look at it, just the nothingness. Now, if you're up farther north or in the middle, you know, you see the mountains. It's beautiful, right? But the farther south you go, I mean, I would rather mow my lawn than rake rocks. Okay, and that's what they do. They're like, "Oh, we just go out there and rake our rocks because the dust gets on them." You know, but there's nothing. So they all close their windows. They're not looking. And there's this man who had his window up, and he's looking out at the so-called nothingness. So this man, and he's got this big grin on his face like, "Man, oh, that's awesome." This guy across the way looks at him and he says, "Brother, can I ask you a question? What gets you so excited? I mean, there's really nothing out there. It's just red and brown and dirt. And I mean, what are you getting so excited about?" And he said, "Well, you know, I'm in the irrigation business. And I just keep thinking that if we were to just bring the water out here, how beautiful this place would be." His excitement was, "Man, what if we could change this? Can I tell you something? We're in the soul-saving business, and you don't have to do anything because Jesus Christ did it all. But listen, you have to tell people. You say, 'Man, this world is going down, and it's horrible, and I just can't believe it. Do you see who our president is? Do you see who our mayor is, who our governor is? Oh, this is horrible.' Then what are you doing about it? Are you doing something about it? Did you know out there that if you focus less on you, and complaining, and focus more on, hey, let me ask you a question. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you'd have a home in heaven, or would you have a doubt? If you did more of that, things would be different, but we don't." Listen, we need to labor aggressively. Let me check the time here. We need to labor aggressively, and I won't get through all this. So not only must we lift up and look around, we need to labor aggressively. John 4:36 says, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." John 9:4 says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." How many of you like statistics? Anybody? I like statistics. If you're here to see my video, you'll see that I like statistics. I want you to see things more clearly. All right? Time is against us. Did you know that 1.8 people die every second? That's 108 people that die every minute, 6,480 people every hour, 155,520 people that die each and every day. That's 56,764,800 people that die each and every year. What are we doing about it? Listen, Satan is amazing at his job, and that's to be a deceiver and deceive you. If you start looking up statistics online, they will tell you this: "Well, you know, about half of this world is Christian. Okay, they believe in Jesus Christ. Okay, they are a Christian people. 50%. And if you look at it that way, you think, "Man, we're doing a good job. I mean, we are halfway there." But check this out. I dug a little deeper. Out of the over 7 billion people in this world, All right, 7 billion. According to statistics, they're saying that what? 3.5 billion of them are Christians, right? Is that half? Did I do that right? Okay. So that's half. 3.5 billion people are supposedly saved. But then I start looking at, okay, what denominations make up this Christian nation, right? And what I did, and I hope I don't make you mad, but if I do, it's Bible, all right? So I go in there, and I'm like, oh, hey, you know what? The Catholics take up a huge portion there. I mean, a huge portion. And I took them out. Oh, Brother Ferrari, how can you do that? Listen, when your faith and trust in going to heaven is on what must I do? What can I do to be saved? I mean, do I need to crawl to a statue? Do I need to give money? Do I need to go to church? And it's on you, and it's not on Jesus Christ. You are not saved. So we took them out of the equation. Then we looked at Mormons. I'm sorry, even though they might have some really high standards for themselves and very conservative, they are not saved. Did you know that Jehovah's Witnesses don't even believe in Jesus Christ? He's just a prophet. So, you know, we were at a gas station as we were driving up here, and I laughed so hard. We were in Memphis, and I'm there, and this lady comes up, and she's just like, "Hey, brother! Hey, brother, come here. I just want to give you this." And I'm pumping gas, and I'm there with one of your missionaries, Jonathan Beatles, right? We're sitting there talking at the gas station, and she's like, "Come here. I just want to give you this." And I'm like, "No, thank you. I'm okay. I'm a Christian." "Oh, well, brother, so am I. We believe in the same God." And I look at her, and I'm like, "No, we don't." "What do you mean?" "Listen, because I'm a Baptist. And when I say Baptist, I'm not a, hey, I'm going to go at, you know, I'm going to go on Christmas, Easter, you know, type of Baptist. Listen, I'm actually a missionary. And I'm not just a, well, I'm just going to go ahead and pass out some checks. No, I'm going to Argentina Baptist." "Well, brother, we still serve the same God." And I'm like, "No, we don't, because I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that He is the Son of God and that He is God and He's not just a prophet like you believe." Thank you for your time. And she walked away. So I took them out of the equation. And when you do that, and I'm being very conservative, all right, only 798 million people might possibly have the chance of going to heaven when they die. That's only 11.4% of the population. Time is against us. Listen, I know I'm talking to, you know, the school and missionaries and even, you know, faithful adults here, but a lot of us say this when it comes to soul winning, let's say. "You know what? Maybe next month. I'm just kind of busy this. I'm kind of busy, you know, the next coming up months. I got a lot of work to do. I just got all these things that I got going on. I got to hang out with the kids and the grandkids, and I'm just busy. I'll do it next month. I'll do it next year." When it comes to missions giving, right? "Oh, you know what? I don't have time. I got to, you know what? I'm following the Dave Ramsey method, and I'm just snowballing everything. And you know what? I got to pay off this car. And then maybe after I do that, then I'll give to missions." And then when it comes to even, let's say, praying for your missionaries. Can I tell you something? We need your prayers. 114,000 miles, and I'm still alive, and I haven't lost any of my kids because I was about to, like, just get out. Right? Why do I still have them all? Why am I still insane, kind of? Because people are praying. But we always put it off. You know what? Maybe next time. Not right now. Let me wait. There's going to come a time where you can no longer pray enough for your preacher, for your missionaries, for your family. There's going to come a time when you can no longer pick up a Bible and go out soul winning. There's going to be a time where you can no longer give the mission so that others can go in your place. Why? Because He's going to come back. We're going to be gone. And then it will be too late. Time is against us. And listen, I'll finish with this because I think this is important. And I have another 5 or 6 pages. But listen, the disciples probably thought, listen, there can be no harvest here in this town in Sychar. These people despise the Jews. They won't listen to us. But just the opposite was true. The seed had already been sown. And now they were looking at a harvest. But how did they hear? You know, maybe it was John the Baptist who was baptized at Anon. But they did know of the coming one. They did know of a Messiah because they heard from a sower. You know, Adriana, my middle child, just turned 6 years old. But in January of this year, Adriana got saved. And I mean, I was ecstatic because my prayer for my children is, "Lord, please save them at a young age. Lord, please save them at a young age." And now they're saved. I'm like, "Lord, please help them grow." And for Daniel, "Lord, please save them at a young age." And one day I was sitting down and I was reading, I think it was Isaiah. And I'm sitting down. I like a recliner. I was sitting in a recliner reading Isaiah. And Adriana just comes very sweetly and, "What are you reading?" "The Bible." "Can you read it to me?" "Sure." So I pick her up, put her on my lap, and I start reading the Bible to her. And I've talked to her about God and salvation before, but she never really understood, right? And then finally I asked her, I'm like, "Honey, let me ask you a question." I'm like, you know, we started talking about sin and the devil and hell, and it snowballed to this. "Well, where's mommy going to go?" "Well, if mommy died, mommy go to heaven." "Why is mommy going to go to heaven?" "Because mommy's saved." "Well, that's right." "Okay, where's sissy going to go?" "Sissy's going to go to heaven." "Why is sissy going to go to heaven?" "Oh, because sissy asked Jesus to save her and forgive her and take her to heaven when she dies." I'm like, "That's right." "Where's Poppy going to go?" "Poppy's going to go to heaven." Right? Same answer. And then I'm like, "Where are you going to go?" "I'm going to go to hell." "You are? And why?" Because I'm a sinner. I didn't ask Jesus to forgive me. I'm a sinner. I'm not saved." I'm like, "You don't say." And we just kept, you know, adding a little bit to it and talking with her. But she was the one giving me the answers. I waited for Crystal to come home, and then I left the room, and Crystal's talked with her. And all of a sudden, of course, I'm like, have Daniel. I'm like, "Be quiet." And I'm trying to listen to see what's going on. But Adriana bowed her head and asked Jesus Christ to forgive her of her sin and take her to heaven when she dies. Can I tell you something? Is that because of Dad? Is that because of Mom? No. Can I tell you why? She heard from a sower. Every school that she's been in, all right? Preacher Gomez called her a traveling gypsy. She's like, "This child has been in so many Sunday school classes that she doesn't even know when she's back at home in her own." Right? But I'm telling you this, every church we've been to, every nursery she's ever been in, every Sunday school teacher, every class, every curriculum was planting a seed, in her. And then one day, that seed just sprung up out of the ground. It just sprung up and she understood it and she got saved. Listen, I don't know who you are. I don't know what your job is. I don't know what you do. If you think, "Man, listen, you know what? I'm just not that important." You are, because you are planting a seed in somebody's life. Listen, whoever picked up the bread from yesterday, you are planting a seed. Doesn't matter what your job is. Your job is important. And if those people, you know what, if you pass out a track and those people don't get saved right then and there, guess what? You planted a seed. And maybe next week or next month or next year, somebody will come talk to them and, "Hell, man, you know what? I got this track one day." I keep thinking about this, brother. Your pastor is Mike Files, right? Can you tell me real quick, how did Mike Files get saved? Found a track on his door. So he wasn't even home. He doesn't know who left it there, right? But he found a track on his door. And I've been to your church. They're one of our supporting churches, and I love them to death. And they are doing an amazing job in Jacksonville, Arkansas. Somebody went out and just passed out a track. Didn't even talk to him. Just, "Hello? I'm going to plant it. The Lord will give the increase." Went to the next door. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, Lord, I know I didn't get through the whole message, God, but I just pray, Lord, that if there's someone here today, God, that has maybe messed up their focus, Lord, maybe they're not focusing on you anymore, Lord, or just not focusing on souls or missions or giving, Lord, I just pray that today, Lord, they would just realign that focus, God, and just focus on you, God. Lord, you showed us how, even though you were tired, God, and were aching after walking 14 miles, you still put aside your burdens. You put aside how you felt, God, to fulfill the food that your Father had given you, God, to spread the gospel. Lord, please help us to do more for you for missions, Lord. Not just abroad, even though that's what we're here for, Lord, but just help us to do more for missions, Lord, here at home as well. Thank you for everything you've done and what you will do. In your name I pray.
About eyes are closed. Thank you, Brother Ferrari. I'm glad he preached that, because not just for missions conference sake, but we have a fall program coming up here in a couple of weeks, and emphasis will be on passing out tracts and inviting people to church and trying to witness to somebody. And young people, you know, that's about the third or fourth example you've heard from the pulpit in the last 10 days about God using a gospel tract to reach somebody. The man who's now a missionary from Oklahoma, the man here in town, Jimmy Biggs, years ago. You have no idea when you sow what God's going to do with the seed. No idea. Let's keep a spiritual focus. Doesn't mean we can't have fun, enjoy life, play ball, shop somewhere. You girls enjoy that. But it means along the way we keep our spiritual focus sharp. Very good thought for us this morning. Maybe God would use you, particularly, specifically, this fall, to be responsible to leave a track somewhere to invite somebody to come. Would you like to be the one that invites somebody and they come to church? You think God might use you to do that? Have you ever asked Him to? Think about that for a moment. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed and ask Naomi just to softly play the piano. If the Lord spoke to your heart this morning, maybe that would be your heart's desire, to be one that is used by God to reach somebody through a gospel tract, through a verbal witness, through an invite. It's not just for children, it's for adults, and it's not just for church members, it's for men and women in full-time ministry. I was sitting there thinking, you know, sometimes my focus gets double focused. I don't see as clearly as I should spiritually. We're like those disciples, focused on the physical, not the spiritual.